I love my binary revolution radio.
I love my Radio Freak America.
You got your freak in my revolution.
You got your revolution in my freak America. That's some tasty binary revolution Radio Freak America.
With Stank Dog as usual and with dual parallel special freak sauce.
Dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers, to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho, cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcasts. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs, zips, sits. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
All right, and welcome to episode 4 of Binary Revolution Radio. I am Stank Dog, and I'm joined, as always, with...
Wait a minute!
In the house!
In the house!
Wait a minute! Wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture?
I'm Wintermute, and I've hit puberty. I was going to piss him off.
Over the weekend?
We don't know where he is.
Actually, yeah, we know where he is.
You do know where he is? Okay.
Yes, actually, we had a little interaction, a little encounter this weekend. Actually, Mute and I met in real life and went to Universal Studios Florida this weekend. So that was a pretty good weekend. Had a lot of fun. So... because Mute is on to bigger and better things and out this week, unable to record, I had to, you know, go through the minor leagues to try to come up with a last-minute replacement. And in case you don't already know, mystery guest, please introduce yourself now.
I'm Dual.
Dual Parallel in the house.
It's not quite the same.
Yeah, I know. That's
dude,
his, that's
like,
his
you know,
catchphrase.
It's like Regal or something.
That's his catchphrase. We'll have to leave him with
this
that
is like Dual off the freaking, you know, the street or something, you know?
This is the infamous Dual Parallel from Radio Freak America.
Thank you very much.
The greatest hacking, freaking, underground show on the internet. Check it out. Wednesdays. Come on, man. I'm pimping it. Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Wednesday on Rant Radio.
Pimp, pimp.
Same station you're on. And it is a good show. You will like it. No, it's on the 8th Pacific Wednesday nights. You can download it at oldschoolfreak.com afterwards. Shortly afterwards, I'm usually pretty good about getting it up soon. We got the great show notes. What?
You're pretty good at what?
Shit! No! No!
Man, you just walked right in. I didn't even have to trick you into saying that.
Recording this show.
You know what? I'm just going to leave it in. I won't even save that for a blackmail situation like you did to me on your last episode.
I did no such thing.
You totally took a phrase. Look, for those...
Yeah, you just owned me, you know, while I was down and out freaking on travel.
Well, just to set the record straight to the listeners who were listening to our opening, that was one of our outtakes from Radio Freak America on the last episode. Duel was giving me a little payback. You know, when I call and when I'm talking to Duel and we're getting ready to do the show, I know he's recording everything.
No, I let you know.
I know, and I know, and I just play along, and I just say funny things, and, you know, it comes out of context. You know, the actual context, I don't mind that Duel records me, but when I'm talking to your mom, Duel, I really think you should turn the recorder off. I'm just saying.
Fine. Seriously, they're hilarious. I've got tons of outtakes for the next special. If anybody hasn't listened to episode 50 of Radio Freak America, check it out. It's pretty funny. I saved up all those outtakes where I tell, and here's what I do before the show, like Stank said, we get everybody together. It's kind of, it's twofold, right? We're killing two birds with one stone. We're getting the mood up and energy up for the show, as well as checking sound levels. So everybody knows we're recording, and we end up saying a lot of funny stuff, and it leads to, you know, hilarious highlights. But or used low in lights. A different context, it can yeah. be used to one's advantage, as it was.
One person's highlight can be another person's low light.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
So, no, it's all in good
this
fun.
This is fun, by the way.
We do this all the time, and I'm sure you've got, I said, when he pays me back, I said he can do an entire episode of all of my weird and crazy
yeah,
and rude
could.
Outtakes.
I definitely could. I'm trying to say this is fun, being a guest.
It's
just like this show where I was on travel and I called in. This is fun.
I told you for how long how fun it was to be on RFA.
Yeah,
and
now I see why. It's a blast. Yeah. I can surf. I can kick back. It's a blast. Everybody should do a show.
Do a show, or
get to be on somebody's show. It's so much fun.
Yeah, and you know, since you mentioned that, I am actually going to try to start rotating in some other guests. I know I spoke to... I probably shouldn't ruin it by saying it right now, but I spoke to some individuals in particular. They know who they are. What's that?
Don't jinx it.
No. We're definitely going to work them. It's just a matter of timing and getting together for it. So we'll be mixing the guests in. I still am too cheap to get a third, be able to do three-way calling. Maybe I'll work that in sometime soon, but hey, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Let's actually move into some housekeeping topics. I had put out a request, a challenge, a contest last episode for people to write show notes. Well, I guess nobody wants to write show notes.
I don't
want to write show notes. I don't even like doing it, and I have to write them for the show.
I had to as well, but wait a minute. You just started, right? I mean, you just put the message out last show, right?
Yeah, we just put it out last week. That's true.
Don't sweat it, man.
Well, we'll give it a little more time. There's an address. You listen to last episode 3, you'll hear where the address was to mail stuff in if you just still want to do it. I do write notes for the show, for us, so we know what topics to cover, but my notes are just way, 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 way too verbose. I mean, it's like, you know, downloading the notes might take longer than downloading the show.
Right.
So, you know, I guess at some point, if we want to, I can actually put up the text file and let people download my notes that I wrote to go along with the show. But, we'll see. If anybody wants to write the notes, listen to last episode, and you'll find directions on how to. And if not, eventually when I get around to it, yeah, I'll probably post up the notes that I write.
Me too, because I listen to it. I actually listened to episode 3 twice this weekend. I liked it so much. It was so good. So while I'm listening sometime, I'll start pounding stuff out for you.
Yeah, that's true because, you know, I listen to stuff at work, you know, on my headphones, so a lot of times I might not listen to it a week or two later. So, yeah, we'll give it some time.
Cool.
And actually, I didn't get really any email, so I take that as a good thing. I guess episode 3 was a step up. I guess we covered a lot more topics, had a lot more fun, a lot more diversity in the topics and the subject matter. So, I'm hoping anyway. I don't want to say that I think we're getting better, but I hope we're getting better each and every episode. I mean,
you are.
Like you said, this is episode 4 we're recording now, and, you know, hopefully episode 5 will be better and 6 will be better, et cetera, et cetera. We can only hope to be around as long as Radio Freak America.
You will be, and I guarantee you'll get better. Right. And it's good already. I mean, I had fun listening to it. That's all that matters, man. Is it fun?
I wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. I'm having a blast.
Yeah,
absolute
exactly.
blast. So.
And it's going to be fun for the listeners, too. So, yeah you're there, man. Don't
well, between this and RFA, yeah, this is my release. This is my outlet for the week of having fun, so I absolutely have a blast.
Right on.
Actually, we usually go into, like, our personal, you know, what we were doing this week, what kind of playing around we did. I know you have got Project Walmart Freedom going on. Have you got any news or anything
going?
That's
exactly what I've been doing. I've been frequenting Walmarts, and that's scary, first of all.
Did you say frequenting or freaking?
Yes. Both. And, you know, learning a lot about stuff. I got a link up on Old School Freak about something I learned about. Just been messing with their technology in general, getting harvesting lots of phone numbers as well. You know, doing a little social engineering on their internal system, and actually I haven't gotten very far at that. You know, it's like I call up people; they don't know anything about the store they work in. It's weird.
Well,
there are other avenues.
It's on a need-to-know basis, so I guess it depends on who you talk to.
I guess I get more stuff from like the notes that people write down. You know, to help themselves remember stuff. I guess
Right.
I start just checking stuff out. So that's what I've been doing. Project Walmart Freedom is what I've been working on, and it's a very impressive text file. Big shout to Bland. Because he's been putting in some great stuff. So, And lots of other people. Too many people to list right now. It's going to be a great text file.
But, yeah, just, again, all the names are going to be included in the text file. So,
yeah.
You know, send the stuff in. Listen to RFA for that information. Did you have a special email address or something that you had ever set up?
I don't remember. Right now, just send it to duel@oldschoolfreak.com.
Good deal.
Even if it's one payphone number, send it, and you'll get your name on there.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, it's going to be a good text file. Duel has sent me some ratchet. Guy in Canada sent me some good stuff. You've been getting pictures as well. If you want to take a picture of a payphone, send it to me.
Especially if you can get maybe the Walmart logo in the background or something of the payphone.
Any type of pictures of Walmart would be good. So yep. That's what I've been working on, and it's paying off, man. Yes. And thanks to everybody that's been sending stuff in.
Yeah, it's a community article. It's everyone's article.
I don't know if anything like this has been done before. I mean, honestly, I don't. I mean, because think about it, we've got across this nation and Canada as well. So we've got two nations, two great nations, and all over. It's amazing.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before. The internet doesn't have borders.
Right.
You know, so there's always good information, always different information out there. So
yeah.
that's really, really cool stuff. So
BWF is blown up. Keep sending in, and
Project.
Again, this has never been done before.
Should we make up some Project Walmart Freedom theme music?
That would be rad. It'd be nice.
We need like some gunfire and some military chanting in the background or something. I don't know, but I've been told.
Yeah, I must shop at Walmart. Yeah, it's something scary. It'd have to be like horror music, I think.
You know, we actually, later on the show, I have a Walmart topic. I probably could segue into it now, but I'm going to stick with the...
You're gonna stick with the notes?
Yeah, I'm going to go through, actually, because I had a couple other things I wanted to, just a couple quick mentions here. Back on RFA 47, I think it was, the one that Mute and I, the Mutant Stank and Mute special episode that we filled in for you one week, we had mentioned a topic, a Federal Express hack, a Federal Express vulnerability, if you want to call it, that we talked about. And I just had opportunity this past week to confirm that still has yet to be fixed.
Really?
They still have not made the fix. Now, I'm not going to go over that whole thing again because it was kind of long, and the short version is they have a vulnerability in the way that you access and print out shipping labels online that will let you backdoor into their system and get email addresses and personal addresses and shipment information on anybody else that's been shipped to. From that company. So, yeah, go back and listen to RFA episode 47. See, this is why we have archives.
And this mirrors. Thanks to all the mirror people.
Absolutely. Very much thanks to the mirror. Anybody hosting a mirror and has the show notes that, you know, this is how people can go back and find information, because information, some of it can be dated, but some of it doesn't. So that's why I wanted to touch on that and let everybody know that that's still going on, still a problem. And I had another... You know, someone asked me this question this week, and Duel, let me ask you this: since you've been around, you've had the site up for a long time. This is a question that I don't know if philosophical or just a decision that needs to be made. How would you react if a company, even let's say it's a security, has some type of internet like McAfee or some security intrusion detection software company or something like that, they came to you, they saw your hacking site, and they wanted to, or they asked you if you would put advertising on your site for them?
No.
And just no, simply that quickly?
Yep.
So even if they offered to pay you X number for every, even if it wasn't click through, they just said, you know what, you put ads up for us on your site, and we'll pay for your hosting. We'll pay your $10-$15 a month.
No.
None, not whatsoever.
Let me think about it. No.
So no hesitation, huh?
None whatsoever.
What if Rant Radio were to request or require that you put in a 30-second commercial on your show?
Bye bye.
You'd leave?
Yep.
Where are we going? See, we have to get that other thing set up. Our other project. We won't go into that. It really you wouldn't.
No, we'd have to. Yeah.
Yeah. You. I mean, you really feel that strongly that. No advertising whatsoever. I mean, does it matter if it was a security or a legitimate thing? What if I asked you to put in a link to... Well, see, I guess that's kind of different, though, when we link to each other. If we link to each other, it's different. I was going to say, what if I asked you to link to my site? But that's a whole different thing, really.
No. You're not whoring a product.
Yeah. Well, Yeah, I guess I see that. So, just no advertising whatsoever. It's just absolutely, completely out of the question?
Yeah, why? Why do you ask?
Well, I'm just curious. It came up in a conversation with somebody that what would it hurt if it was a small advertisement at the bottom of the page or if it was just a little link box or something? Not obtrusive, no shockwave or no flash animation, no plug-in, nothing like that. Just a small banner or link box or something like that.
Then everything I've ever said would have been for naught. Mm. Everything. Everything would be shit. I would be shit. Oh, great, there's something else for you.
Yeah, man, you're giving me a lot of outtakes I can pull
exactly.
from this episode.
Oh, thanks for really having me on your show. No, seriously, I mean, it would be worthless. Everything that has been done and would be done in the future would be worthless. And not to mention, I just don't want that. That's not the point. The point is, you know, honestly, I want to be, you know, it's nice to be around radio. It's nice to have listeners. Don't get me wrong. But I want to be underground, man. I don't want to be freaking, I don't want to be mainstream. That's the whole point of this. I want to be, can I swear on your show?
Oh, absolutely. By all means, we love it. Actually, I've been trying to cut back, but, you know, it's hard.
I don't really, yeah, I tried for a while. I don't really care anymore. I mean, well, it's just like, it's, there's a lot of things that I don't agree with, you know, in traditional thinking and conventions in this society. But, you know, it would, I lost my train of thought there.
You wanted to cuss, so go ahead.
Well, yeah, honestly, I want to, oh, now I remember. I don't want to be mainstream. I want to be able to say fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you should be able to say fuck in the medium that we're, you know, we're airing on. I mean, that's the whole point.
Well, we don't have to deal with...
I want to show tits, and I want to say fuck, you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, so we'd have this, you know, a new man show with technology. No, I'm just saying it's, how do I say it, it's a...
Well, I think I know, you know, it's we don't have to deal with the FCC. We don't have the 7 words you can't say on radio. We don't have to, that's the whole point.
This shit, fuck, cunt, hell, yeah, all that, we want to... It's almost like a feeling, you know? I want that feeling where you know, and whether you get it because you're hearing swearing or whether you get it because you're hearing about, you know, hacking or freaking, I want people to get that feeling that, you know what, this isn't the usual shit we're listening to. This is different.
Right,
I'm getting different information. I'm getting a different viewpoint that's not shoved down my throat every day on the radio and TV and billboards and advertisements. And I want to keep that. That is the whole point. Honestly, I want it to be the media. I wanted a show that I would want to listen to. Not all this drivel, you know, that you're being brainwashed with all the time. And, you know, I like that freedom to be able to say, fuck, you know, and fuck the RAA and the MPAA.
And, yeah, and that's the more important part. It's not only, you know, the language we're saying is a joke. We can emote. We can make our emotions clear with whatever we want. But, yes, we can talk about whatever we want to talk about, and no one's going to fire us. No one's going to tell us what we should and shouldn't say, and we don't have to worry about advertising and offending people. And, yeah, I agree. That's absolutely, you know, one of the greatest feelings and something they really can't take away from us on the Internet. They can try, and they are trying.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
no, I actually... The reason I brought up the advertising is because I pretty much agree with you. But I was trying to be open-minded, and that's why I wanted to bring it on the radio, to see if any listeners had any different feelings or you had any different feelings. You know, what if it gets to a point, like right now, we are underground, we are small. And, yeah, I mean, I don't mind staying that way, but I also at the same time want Binary Revolution to be successful. I want to gain more listeners. It's going to come to a point where, especially, for example, let's say Hack TV. Now, that's going to be a lot of bandwidth and a lot of people downloading, and that's going to cost a lot of money. And I don't mind paying for it. I love doing it, and that's what I'm doing. But I'm wondering, is there ever going to come a point, and I'm thinking realistically now, not idealistically, but realistically, is there going to come a point where they're going to say, listen, you know, your bandwidth bill this month is $500 because you've got all this stuff. You know, am I going to be able to realistically, financially support that? And if not, would advertising of my choice and what I control, you know, I still would have, no, I'm not going to have Microsoft advertising, or yes, I am going to have, you know, this. I'm trying to think open-mindedly, would I go for it, and if not, what is the alternative?
Yeah, but you're giving everything up. It's like you're giving up your principles. That's the whole point of everything. I couldn't afford to keep the archive servers up. So I got rid of it. You'll find another way. I'm not saying you right now, but whoever would be doing this would find another way. You can find another way. Money is never a problem. You want to get your message out. If you want to do the right thing, money is not a problem. I think that would just wipe out every good thing you'd want to do. If you can't afford the bandwidth, you know, for the Hack TV site, I know we're speaking hypothetically here. If you can't afford the bandwidth, then find another way. Don't do it. Do something else. You know, do it in the future. You know, honestly, it's not. It just wouldn't be worth it. It would just all for naught. It would make everything all for naught.
Yeah, you're probably right. And hopefully, you know, the other thing is, back to the Project Walmart Freedom, that gives me things like that, and things like Voodoo How volunteering to do some you know, teaching in the IRC channels and stuff like that. Things like that give me just in such a great feeling of faith and trust in the community and in my fellow hackers that we will find a way. Maybe I might not find a way, but we will find a way, and I have friends and people that I can count on to come through with other solutions so that hopefully, you know, we won't ever have to come to that decision.
Yeah. And, I mean, face it. I mean, we probably won't, you know, we're not going to be making money anytime soon on this stuff. Everybody does it for the love of technology, right?
Right, same reason we do the shows.
Right, yeah. All right, let's use Sean Kay as an example, if I may. I mean, he does some good shit. I want to see that man make money at what he does, because he does it well, and I enjoy it. You know?
And I agree.
But I don't think he would ever give in to advertising. I don't know. And maybe that is the question. What happens when you get to the point? I mean, he's going to get big enough where he can make money, or will make money if... Boy, I think I see what you're saying. I think I see the point now.
I'm just, you know, it's hopefully it'll never happen, and hopefully there'll be a solution. And also, let's be realistic, by the time this might happen, there may be new breakthroughs in technology where bandwidth is cheaper, and that problem is therefore no, you know, it's a moot point by then, because we are honestly going to a, you know, looking for a future where we deliver high bandwidth content and television, streaming TV over the internet and things like that. So maybe by then it will not be a problem. That's just one example, though.
I think you should ask, or somebody should ask Sean Kay that very same question. Because think about it. How is he supposed to grow and change without some kind of sponsorship? Can he grow and change without some kind of sponsorship? Could he ever be just, you know, like PBS, you know? I don't know.
But is it necessarily bad change if you have... I mean, do you necessarily have to sell out? You know, I mean, you're kind of making it sound like it's selling out if you were to do some of these...
That's the thing.
Or are you just compromising to continue getting out your same message? I mean, if it ever came to the point where it's like, yeah, we're going to support you, but you can't badmouth Microsoft anymore because they're one of our sponsors, then hell yeah, I'm going to be like, you know what? Fuck you. Screw you guys. I'm going home. You know, I'm going Cartman on somebody. I'm out. And then, you know, like, that's why we discussed. We have alternatives we can try and make happen if we can. And, you know, we could be the next ones to start something like that. You know, another revolution.
You know, the Sean Kay example really made me see why you asked this question now. Mm-hmm. That really made me realize that, yeah.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to throw it out there and kind of, because it is sitting in the back of my head. And you know, I don't know what to think about. I the first thing I said was like you. I'm like, no. And then I'm like, well...
Yeah,
then again,
you
know,
you made me think it through.
What would it hurt? And then again, would it help? And would I sell out? And what's the... Anyway, I didn't mean for it to get that deep, but yeah, okay. I just wanted to throw that out there, and you know, yeah, it's not quite as simple as saying no. I mean, you got to think about it sometimes. So
apparently not.
Let's go into some actual topics. I read an article this week on. It was actually a debate in Network World Magazine, which is a weekly magazine that I get. I'm sorry, monthly. It's not weekly. It's monthly.
That's a real big one.
Yes, it's real, like, almost newspaper size, or
yeah.
I guess not quite that big, half newspaper size. And they had, and they're hit and miss. So, you know, sometimes articles are great, sometimes they really suck, sometimes they're very anti-hacker, whatever. This one I thought was very intriguing. I thought it was a good discussion, a good debate that we could kind of continue online. And the topic was, are filters more effective than laws in stopping spam? Do you filter the spam out, or do you pass laws to stop spam in general? So they had two people debating, one debating each side, and actually I did, honestly, I should have wrote their names and shared them here, but I wrote down some of the points they made, and I thought we could kind of kick them around a little bit, because I guess, you know, for a debate, somebody has to take a pro, somebody has to take a con. When the person was supporting the idea of filtering, he pointed out, first of all, the statistics they used in this article were horrible. You know, if you're going to use statistics, make them something that people can understand.
Right.
So he was talking about the new Bayesian filters and how much more effective they are than the older filtering systems. And it says that, this is what they said. They said that they let through about 2.5 spams out of 1,000 with about 0.5 per 1,000 false positives.
Makes sense.
Well, I can't do that kind of math in my head. I'm from, you know, I went to school in the country. We didn't get up to 1,000 in our counting.
You've done a farm.
Basically, let me translate that for anyone. Why not just, make everything out of 100, a percentage. It's
right.
Easy and simple. So converting that, basically what they're saying is that one out of every 400 spams get through. So it blocks 399, and one spam slips through. And at the same time, the more dangerous thing, the thing that people worry about more often, is if you accidentally block out legitimate email.
Right, false positive.
Right, and this one is basically said, he's saying statistics are about one in every 2,000 valid emails gets blocked as though it was spam. So you lose one out of 2,000.
Right.
So for stopping, 399 out of 400, you got that risk of losing one out of 2,000. Are those acceptable losses, or do you have, I still find that people say they sent me an email and I never got it. Is that being filtered out, do you think?
Possibly. Do you know if your email service uses Bayesian filters? Find that out.
Yeah.
I hate spam just like everybody else. Well, you know what? Maybe you should go on before we comment.
Okay. All right. There are a couple more points on the pro filter. We'll do it like that. We'll hit the pro filter, then the pro law.
Yeah.
Another thing about the pro filtering is that even if you block on client side or server side, even if you block those email, they still traveled to get to that block. So they left whatever, goat sex site or whatever they're sending out and ate... And you see, you'd be mad if they blocked that, right?
Oh, totally.
But it traveled and ate up bandwidth on the ride. So, sure, you have a filter and you can block it on the client side or server side, but it did cost, there is a cost of transmitting that mail. And that actually sounds like an argument against filters, but what the debate or the argument here was that if the drop in response rates, because all of them are blocked, 399 didn't get through. Therefore, people aren't going to click through 399 of them, so the percentage is so much lower, the click-through rate will be lower, and the senders of that email will give up thinking they're not getting because they're getting blocked, and they will stop sending that mail. Now, to me, that seems kind of naive. They're not going to stop. They're going to, every time you find a way to block them, just like hackers.
Right.
And a lot of hackers get hired by companies like this, believe it or not. A lot of hackers come up with these scripts and ways to work around. Every time they try to stop it, they're going to come up with a way to circumvent it. So I didn't think was a very strong argument. Another one was actually, this was an anti-law. He was countering. A lot of people say when you're making laws, one of the concerns is how do you stop spammers without stopping legitimate email advertising. If you're going to pass a law against spam or against advertising an email, aren't there people that have a right to send targeted advertising, opt-in type advertising, and that can accidentally, probably very easily and frequently, be blocked, even though they're opt-in lists and stuff like that.
Right.
Is there such a thing as legitimate email advertising? Let me ask you.
Of course there is. If you opt in, yeah, of course. But you would hope. Well, you would have to. Boy, that's difficult. Either change your filters to accept that, or guess what? You're not getting that email.
Yeah, and how do you? And that is the huge problem. How do you determine the legitimate ones from the non-legitimate ones? Unless you have a list of all of the opt-in spammers. Instead of having a list of all the known spammers and blocking them, maybe you have a list of all the known valid. Maybe have them register somewhere and have them on an allow list. I don't know. I just, you know,
yeah.
I don't know what kind of solutions are going to come up, but that seems like a possibility.
Right, because, I mean, I opt in to all the goat sex sites I can find.
Well, I mean,
they get blocked.
How do you keep up with all those emails, though? Because there must be a lot of those.
There is, and it's upsetting when I don't get them.
Yeah, well, you know, luckily you got 399 blocked, you still get one that comes
through. That's right, lucky me.
And that's all you need. They all link to each other anyway, trust me. you know, and it, same thing with telemarketers. I mean, really, it is the same thing that, you know, you have the do not call list now. Do they have a do not email list? Is that something we should come up with? Is that a reasonable possibility, or is the do not call list going to be a failure as well?
Do not call is doable. I think a do not email would just be
ridiculous.
Yeah, totally. Wieldy, to say the least.
You know, and the most powerful argument on filters as more effective than laws is that filtering works now. There are filters out there. With the statistics I mentioned earlier, there are filters that work. How long will it take? I mean, I've ranted and bitched about the government and how long it takes them to pass laws and how long it takes them to get things done, and then they do it half-assed, they don't do it right. I mean, how long have we been waiting on that do-not-call list? You know, it's been needed for years and years. Telemarketing's been it's not a recent problem.
Right.
It took them this long to evaluate it, so how long will it take them to come up with laws and make them work and then start applying them to people? On the other hand, on the pro-law side, this I thought this was just a brilliant quote, the way it was worded. Now, I'm not saying, you know, credibility, but just if you think about this. The quote that this person said, it said, filtering is no more a solution to the spam problem than it is to water pollution. Now, if you think about that, filtering water, filtering polluted water from plants and stuff like that, they don't care about that. They're going to keep right on polluting. They're going to keep right on pouring chemicals and having six-eyed fish and you know, 16-legged frogs spinning around out there with nuclear waste if we did not have laws to back them up.
Right.
You know, so filters in that situation don't work, and he's making the metaphor, the comparison, that they're not going to work here.
Very good.
Like you mentioned earlier, the false positives. False negatives, false positives. Those are the two problems. Yeah, I mean, it seems, you know, I guess it sounds good. One in 400 slip through, you know, you delete that one. But the one out of 2,000 valid emails gets blocked. You know, is that, I mentioned earlier, is that acceptable losses? That's the biggest problem that ISPs face filtering on the server side, is because as soon as they block out an email of, you know, someone's order or someone's personal information, a job application or an interview or, you know, something along those lines, you know, all hell's going to break loose. An important email could get blocked, and it's not yet a perfect science.
Right. Do you think maybe they could use, I don't know, like levels of filtering, like the ISP, they use some more reliable filtering software, meaning fewer false positives or false negatives, false positives, and, you know, so...
But it can never...
To lose... You know, a real email.
But you can never be 100% perfect.
Well, no, it wouldn't be 100%, but it'd be closer, right? We're getting out to the six. You know, you're getting out to the tail end of the bell curve there, so you get a better.
I know. Even if you offered them levels, they're always going to have to take the most conservative one.
Right. Well.
Always. So.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Make sure. You know, even more so. Right. So maybe they let a little more spam through, but again, they're letting a lot. You know, you're not getting so many false positives, and then more restrictive filtering, you know, at the enterprise side. I don't know. You know, it's just a thought. You know,
well,
levels of filtering. Maybe.
Well, it's definitely going to evolve.
I know this is spam. You know, further into the infrastructure. I don't know.
Well, I can tell you where I work, we had filters on, and we had complaints of people who were not getting valid, legitimate email, or so they say, and they had to take it off. You know, and we are using the, you know, it's fairly recent, up-to-date filtering software, and it still doesn't do the job well enough for us. So,
scary.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to evolve and it's going to get better. We know that. You know, it has to.
Right.
But here's another. This is one of the stronger points, also. Bottom line, it costs money for filters. It costs money to filter out that mail. Like I said, it does take up bandwidth. Even if you filter it out at the server or client side, it's going to eat up bandwidth. That costs money. software to buy software for your company. You're buying site license for X number of users. That costs a lot of money.
Well, implementing laws is not free.
Well, that that's a good point. It's a very good point. So which, you know, and that's the whole point really of the debate. Which is the better way to go? Do you, you know, do you burden the companies, the individual people? Should you, dual parallel, as a user at home, have to buy your own $30 or $40, whatever, if it's that cheap, personal filter?
If I want to continue to use one email address forever, yeah.
And then, is that sound right to you? And that's just for an individual. What if you owned an ISP?
Now that's different. Yeah, there's a different story.
Right.
For an individual, you don't touch it. Get another email address. That's what I say.
Right. There are solutions for individuals. I have, CloudMark SpamNet, I think I have on mine. And it does a pretty decent job of filtering. It still lets quite a bit few, more than one out of 400, I have to say.
You have to pay for it?
actually, gosh, I wish this is a tip I could have given a while back, but I didn't foresee it happening. It was beta, and it was free, and it was supposed to be free.
Uh-huh.
And when they finally came out with this was early on in it when spam was a growing problem and people were just wanting to make solutions. It was free. Well, I guess it got really popular, and they realized they could make a buck. So when they finally released the official version 1.0, they started charging for it.
Hey, good for them.
However, if you still have the beta version installed and running, every time it comes up and says, hey, there's a new version, are you ready to upgrade? You just say, hell no, I'll stick with the free version, thank you very much. So I wish I could have given that advice back when they were still giving the free version out. I'm sure if you probably went hunting on the net somewhere, you could probably find one of the old beta versions, and it works just as well.
Really? Is there like a site that archives old software like that? Oh, I can't remember.
I know there were some sites that downloaded specific, like, old versions of AOL and old versions But I don't know if they would have something like this. But, again, you know, once something... That's the great thing about the net. Once it's out there, you know, I'm going to have to break... Damn you, you always pull out these country sayings out of me. There's an old saying, once you can't put the shit back in the horse.
That's really disgusting.
Once it's out on the net, once it's been released, once it's out there, it's out there.
Actually, I'd like to correct you. You can put the shit back in the horse.
Oh, well, excuse me. I guess if you have the proper materials.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, so, yeah, I'm sure if it's, you know, if you guys look for it, it's CloudMark is the name of the company, CloudMark, and I think it's called SpamNet. So if you go look, I'm sure the company's probably cloudmark.com or something like that, but if you go look for some old betas, you should be able to plug those in, and they should work fine. So good luck with all that.
Yeah.
So bottom line is, and we kind of already have touched on a lot of these, but basically I think we need both. I don't think it is a clear either or, one or the other situation. You've got to have laws. Effective laws, of course. You don't want to just throw laws around willy-nilly that you can't enforce or do anything. You definitely got to have laws. I mean, do you agree with that?
Definitely not willy-nilly laws.
Well, nobody wants willy-nilly laws.
Yeah, I totally agree. Actually, I'm glad I stopped myself. I was going to say that at the very beginning. We need both. You have to have both if you're going to have any kind of effective, you know, spam denial. Because, you know, obviously, filters aren't going to do it. Technology is not always the answer, believe it or not. I know that's scary.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
Always the answer, and I think laws are going to be necessary. I mean, because these people, I don't want to say it's malicious, but it's malicious. It just really is.
Well,
I mean, there's just no reason for it. If you hate, like I do, and I know you do as well, Stank. If you hate telemarketing calls, and spam is just, you know, it's just the Internet's version. That's all it is.
I kind of like telemarketing calls, actually.
Because you get to fuck with them, huh?
Yeah. I kind of like messing with them.
Well, unfortunately, you can't. Actually, you can do that with spam. Or you can with those, do you see that on Slashdot? Some guy just wrote out one of these Nigerian oil scams, you know, where they say, oh, we've got all this money and we, you know, must have put it in an account and you would get this much of it, you know. Actually, a company I used to work for years and years ago, they would get hard copy letters, actually. I think some were handwritten. Of these scams, but now, of course, they've gone to email. It's a lot cheaper. And somebody played it out and just kept going and going all the way to, you know, like, you know, this guy's name was William Shatner, and, you know, it was just unbelievable. It was a great read.
Yeah, I think I did read, I don't know if I read all the detail, but I did read about somebody doing that, and I think they ended up getting the FBI involved at the end and catching the people who were sending it, on at least in one case I was reading about.
I hope so. So, yeah, you're right. You have to have both. Did the article say that as well? I hope so.
No, the article, but I mean, it really wasn't an article. It was a debate. So, yes, one person debated this, one person debated that. They really weren't supposed to kind of compromise. Like, you know.
It was just, all right. It was like pros and cons. Okay.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, it's exactly. Really, one. They were just defending each other's ideas. So.
Right.
But, you know, there was one claim in there that I thought was just sounded too low or too off to me. According to the article, it said, or to this debate, said that spam has grown from less than 10% to about 40% of email.
That's wrong.
I know. Come on now. It's got to be over 50, at least over half. There's no way that it's 10 or 40%. I mean, 40%.
Well, I have to say, I get more bug track. I'm glad I get more.
But that's an opt-in list.
Yeah,
that's a mailing list.
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, as long as it's more than my bug track, I think it's. I can't say that it's 50%.
Well, I'm trying to think of in my office.
Right.
And we send a lot of emails back and forth, you know.
Right.
And I still say, well, again, I have the filters, so if I were to take the filters off, it would definitely be 75-80%.
You're shitting me.
Absolutely, no joke.
God.
No joke. I come in, and I what it does is it automatically moves. You can configure it how you want. I have it automatically move it to the deleted items. And I'll come in after a weekend, and I'll have 300-400 things in the deleted items folder, and I'll have maybe 20 or 30 legitimate emails. Of course, over the weekend, nobody sends a lot of legitimate emails.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, it's got to be
crazy.
During the week, even, it's probably above 60-70%.
Can I tell you about one of my pet peeves?
Besides the goat sex emails being blocked?
No, that's not a peeve. I like that. Oh. No, seriously. Legitimate emails that are essentially spam, right?
Mm-hmm.
People at my work that send me shit, you know. There's like a free pizza crust, you know, six buildings over or something like that. You know, I could give a fuck. I'm giving away a free envelope if you'd like. Fuck the fuck off. I don't want to read this shit, you know? Or the minutes from the chess club meeting, right? Fuck off. I don't want to read this shit. That, to me, is spam. That's like the worst spam, because it's not going to get filtered or stopped by law. And I could give a rat's ass. Okay, thanks.
Oh, man, you're killing me. Did you just say fuck the fuck off?
What did I say?
Fuck the fuck off.
Fuck off.
You managed to make 50% of the words in that sentence the F word.
That low?
You are my hero.
Fuck the fucking fuckers. This is bullshit.
Oh,
really,
man.
It makes me mad. It really makes me mad.
Well, you know who the greatest spam fighter of our decade, right? You know who the biggest spam fighter right now is?
Who?
Our good friend Bill Gates.
Oh, what?
I knew you'd love that.
I'm gonna call me puke. You're kidding me.
Bill Gates issued a letter to customers about the quote unquote spreading plague that is spam.
He
says, this is kind of funny actually. Says, like almost everyone, I receive a lot of spam every day.
Bullshit.
Much of it, much of it offering to help me get out of debt or get rich quick.
Bullshit.
Come on, how disgustingly rich is
that
Bill
a
Gates.
Quote from him?
That is a quote from him.
He never sees a spam in his life. He has people to go through his email. I guarantee it.
I'm sure he uses a Hotmail account like everyone else. He's just a regular guy.
Fuck, he doesn't use Hotmail. He has somebody give him all of his email on glossy photo paper, dude. I'm serious. He doesn't. He never ever
color
touch, hears of, smells, or knows what a piece of spam looks like, I guarantee it.
He's got scratch and sniff email printed in high color.
Look at that, he does. That is, what a crock of
like
shit.
Like Obi-Wan Kenobi hologram.
Joe like you. Bullshit.
Oh. Well, somebody, whoever reads his mail is going to probably get spam. So.
I guess so.
Yeah, even Bill Gates can't stop spam. Is that the message here? Or are you just not buying it? You're not buying it at all.
He's selling something, isn't he?
I don't know. He's always selling something.
Where'd you get in a letter?
This was an open this was an open letter that he put. I don't remember what site I dug this up on, but this was an open letter that he made available. And it, basically, the letter went on to say that Microsoft is going to dedicate themselves in a joint. This was, you know, where it was. If you, I think we mentioned it briefly before, but they combined with AOL Time Warner and Yahoo Mail, and they decided to make this consortium to get together and work together and try to do a better job to stop email.
Okay.
So this was just his open letter announcing that.
Okay, I thought he was going to be pimping, you know, a new feature in the next XP or something like that. Kind of like originally.
Yeah, you know, actually, I mentioned earlier we were going to talk about Walmart, so let's segue back into Walmart. The RFID that we've talked about on a few different episodes.
Yeah, the meme brought some stuff up too. Good stuff.
It's, you know, they just can't make up their mind. It's on again, off again, on again, off again. They don't know what they're going to do. So the last thing I heard now, unless you've heard differently again, is that the testing of RFID in retail customer stores is being halted again. They are going to still test it and use it for their distribution. They're going to put it on pallets and cases and boxes and stuff like that to track it through the warehouse and see how long it sits in, like, the individual stores and track their inventory remotely and stuff like that.
Yeah, it has effective uses in manufacturing. It's great for a plant. You know where that part is, you know, as it's going through the manufacturing process. You know how many are where. Exactly. It's good for inventory. That's good. It's not good for tracking what you eat and where you go and who you're fucking.
Exactly. And you know who the big partner that they were doing, one of the big manufacturers who was doing this, you would never guess this, so I'll just tell you, it was Gillette. Gillette.
These are people, really.
Who make the razors and shaving cream and stuff like that. They were one of the ones that are getting on this ahead of time. I don't know why they want to track where your razor goes or whatever, but...
Are they going to know it's shaving my balls from the RFID chip? I mean, come
exactly.
On.
Come on now, you use an electric razor for that.
Ouch. Ouch. Way,
you,
man.
You wax.
I have nared.
I'm just saying, I spend the better part of my day keeping sharp objects away from my scrotum. I don't want to go down there with the razor.
For crying out loud. Haven't you... You got to frick... If you want to be in the porno business...
Like you.
You do. Yeah, like shit. You know, you gotta be nice and clean. I'm telling you, chicks dig it too.
Gotcha.
Okay, anyway.
So Gillette, I guess, you know, and this is the concern, is privacy concern of tracking those items. You know, let's say Gillette, for example, they're going to track that you bought their razor, I guess, I don't know, and because it has a little antenna on it, basically, and can be read pretty much wherever it goes, theoretically, if the right equipment and everything is in place, the potential is there, which is why we, you know, really need to nip it in the bud as far as tracking consumers and stuff like that. That's, you know... But they can, I guess, maybe track and see how long you reuse and how many times you reuse that disposable razor. And maybe if you're reusing it too many times, they make it, develop it more disposable, make it rust faster so you can't reuse it. Find out if you're shaving your ball sack with it and develop a special ball curve. They're going to make a razor with two curves so that it'll hug the ball sack. Dude, why are you degrading my show?
It's not my fault, dude. The sophomore humor has just gone too far. I'm so sorry.
I know, but it's hilarious.
It's a show, and I'm sorry.
This will be the...
You brought it. Yeah, like you haven't done the same thing.
This will be the highest rated episode ever. I think people like...
Or lowest.
people like it when we make fools of ourselves. Let's just go.
I thought it was way more disposable. That's funny. Yeah, I don't see the point. First of all, I thought it was. Last time I heard, they were, of course, the testing was, you know, going to occur, and then they canceled it. And that's the last I heard. I didn't know it was back on again, and now it's off again.
I had heard wishy-washy. Yeah, I had heard two or three different times. Now this is in regards to Walmart. Now, Gillette is still going forward with this technology, and in other countries, I don't know what outlets or what stores, but Gillette is still going through with working together with outlets in, I think it was Germany, and where else? I don't remember. There's a couple of European countries that they are still going through with something like this. So, you know, again, we're borderless, and yeah, it got stopped here in the United States for now, but... Be careful when you shave your ball sack. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
And you know what? That's good advice besides RFID.
Yeah, you always got to be careful. Lather up really well. Now, honestly, I think this is more benevolent maybe than it sounds, because I don't think they're going to be really, like, tracking anything. I mean, like, injecting it into your skin. I think this is more for the manufacturing and for the quick checkout, right? The humanless checkout, essentially.
Absolutely.
That's what I think this is for.
Yeah, but I mean, again, if you go home and you got this antenna on your can of green beans,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You open it, throwing it away, and you know it's gone. But you know, what if they put this on your favorite goat sex porn movie?
Right.
Do you really want that tracked back to your house?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a we're being silly now, and that's a silly. But the potential for abuse is just too high. It's just too scary of a thought. They're gonna, you know, what if they put one in every magazine subscription you have? What if they put one in your medicine, and they know where your medicine goes and how often, you know, if you're giving it to someone else or if you're leaving it somewhere, and how can they make it? You know, there's just. Something private like that doesn't need to be out there for everyone to find out about.
I agree. The thing, you know, you got to think of it though. You know, to get a pattern, you're gonna need to track one RFID at separate spots, basically the one RFID chip. So that's how they can track a dog, you know, person. You got the one chip, and you're scanning in numerous places. That's how you get the pattern. So honestly, if you got a bunch of chips and you're only scanning in one place, that's where it comes in.
Yeah, you know where this. You know what this is good for? This is the best application for this. I have a cat, and my cat, when I got the cat from the Humane Society, somebody didn't want it anymore, so I picked the cat up, and they tattooed the cat with this little code on the bottom of it.
Sure.
Well, in case the cat gets lost, they call an 800 number, they give you the tattoo, and they find out who it's registered to. Well, a friend of mine bought his cat about a year ago, and his cat came with an RFID tag thing surgically embedded under the thing's skin.
Wow.
They can track the cat if it ever gets away. If they ever want to find your pet, find your animal, you can track it. Whether you put it under your skin, that seems a little, they say it's safe or whatever, I don't know. Not going to debate about that. But that's a good concept, a good idea. Put that on the collar, you know, if nothing else, that you can track your animals. But human beings are not animals to be tracked like that.
I agree.
You know?
These subcutaneous layers. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. And we'll... You know, honestly, you're going to get dumb parents who have been brainwashed and, you know, who have had fear instilled upon them doing their kids. That's what's going to happen. And then you're going to have a bunch of teenagers, you know, or a bunch of adults, I should say, get them removed. We'll see what happens. Only the future will tell, you know, and honestly, we're going to see all this crazy shit, you know, before we pass on.
Well, yeah.
We will see. Okay, let's predict something. Let's go into, you know, take Minority Report. Will we see Minority Report in our lifetime?
Well, I haven't seen Minority Report, so I wouldn't know.
Oh, well, yeah, in a scary way, it's a good movie. There's product placement in there just like anything else, but I do think that we will see very similar technology and very similar tactics. Before we pass on, it's worthwhile movie just for that look.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah,
I've been meaning to. I've heard good things about it. You know, there was also, I think somebody put an article in the forums about putting the tags in, like, some video game. You give your kid the video game, and, you know, they play those all the time. They have it with them in their pocket. And secretly, it has a little tracking device so you know where your kids are at.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of, you know, I don't know.
GPS Game Boy. Yeah, I remember that,
You know what? We're running short here, but...
Big time.
In honor of you, I think we should do a little quick freak. Now, wait, where's my... Oh, no, I'm going to pull a duel. I'm going to pull a duel. I don't have my tones.
Oh, hold on. Let me look.
Aha! See, when you're on my show, you have them.
Don't have them on mine, but I got them on yours. Here we go.
The first ever Ben Rev Freak News.
Nice, dude.
And actually, yeah, I'll throw this quick one on you and see what you think about this.
Okay.
Because I know how much you like Quest.
Love it.
You know, you like Quest as much as I like Bell South. Bell South, which is who I get my DSL service from, $50 a month, which is actually $45 for the DSL and then $5 for the account. I don't know if yours breaks down or how other people's break down, but for that, I get 1.5 megabit per second download, theoretically, and 256 upstream, which you think would be enough to stream the show, but I don't know what's going on with that, but
really
I digress. I do get, I don't always get 1.5. I can get upwards of 1.4 on certain nights, you know, depending on what's going on and weather and stuff like that, but I'm consistently between 1 and 1.4, so I'm fairly happy, I have to admit. wish it was cheaper. They have the highest saturation of DSL. They have the highest percentage of customer use of DSL. Yet, ironically, they're the highest priced DSL of all the telcos.
Thought.
Everyone else has $35, $40, $45 total DSL bill, and theirs is $50. So, but they ironically have the highest percentage of users. They rolled it out pretty quick down here. They got it in a lot of places, so I guess they jumped on it soon enough that made that happen. Well, now they're offering what they're calling DSL Lite. To me, it seems, for a user like me, I should say, it's pretty silly. Basically, for $35 a month, $15 less than full-blown DSL, for $35 a month, you can get a 256K download and 128K upload.
For $35?
$35, 256 down, 128 up. And, well, you know, and that's what I thought of. I'm like, what the hell? That's stupid. Who would buy that? You know, it is faster, obviously, than 56K modem. You know, what, five times faster?
Yeah.
So it's a lot faster than a modem. The reason I think this might actually be successful is because, like, a friend of mine, he has a cable modem. They didn't have DSL in his neighborhood yet. Well, he has a cable modem, and what he has to do is the cable modem still needs a phone line for upload. It's download only, for at least the way his is. So he has to pay $20-something dollars a month for an extra phone line so it doesn't tie up his regular phone. So when you're already paying $25 a month for that, plus he's paying whatever the bandwidth he pays for the cable modem, which he is not happy with the performance of it. I forgot what company he has. But for someone like him, $35 a month is actually going to save him a lot. He's going to cancel that second phone line because DSL piggybacks on your current phone line, so he's going to save that $20-$25 a month plus fees, taxes, and other assorted butt fucks they give you. And he's going to get rid of the cable modem service, and he's going to have this for $35 a month. Or even hell, even if he goes full blown $50 a month, he's still better off now, I think. So I think people who have a second phone line in the house, which I did, I didn't want to tie up my normal phone line. So I had a second phone line in my 56K modem back in the day before I got the DSL going. And that was how I justified going to $50 a month. You know, I'm not a rich guy, but I was paying basically $30 after fees and everything for the phone line. And then you pay, you know, $20 or whatever. You can get, of course, cheaper ISPs, but you pay an average of $20. That's $50 right there. So for the same price, you're upgraded to big-time bandwidth. So I think people who have that second phone line, it could possibly be a good deal for them if they don't want to go to the full-blown DSL or don't need it.
Well, sure, it's a good deal if you got those screwy deals that your buddy has, a phone line for your upload, your cable. That's the whole point of cable.
I know. I never got that either, but he's not the only one of the first one I've heard about. You know, I've heard
if everybody's getting screwed like that, I could see where that'd be a good deal. Otherwise, I would pay $25-$30 for that. $30 for that service.
Yeah.
From what we have.
Yeah, That,
I mean,
you know, I'd say 25 would be fair. Yeah, I'd say 25 would be fair.
Yeah, but honestly, if people are getting screwed like that, I could see where they're dying to roll this out.
Right.
It's like heaven for them. I mean, that's a bunch of crap.
We've talked about before. I mean, I have DSL. I've never used cable, so I probably shouldn't pass judgment. But from what I've read, it just doesn't seem to be. It seems to be an inferior product. It doesn't seem to have the same thing. You can get as high as 2 megabytes per second download as opposed to 1.5.
Well, they cap it.
But I've heard that's very rare.
Oh, you're talking about cable, right?
I'm saying cable versus DSL.
Well, they cap
the classic argument that people have had for years is cable or DSL, which one's better?
Well, all I know is cable kicks ass.
Your cable is good?
Oh, yeah.
And you get a good, consistent download?
Always.
And you don't have to use a separate phone line for your upload.
No.
So it sounds like you've got a good cable provider that did it right.
At a good price, too.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it rocks. So I'm sure DSL is a good deal as well.
Yeah. Well, I don't have a choice. My cable company sucks dog ass.
That's just it. I do. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't have an option. If I had an option to try it and check it out, I would definitely give it a shot. Because, again, the only reason I have DSL... The only reason I have the phone line is for my DSL. I would cut it off and just use my cell phone.
Right.
But if you don't have a phone line to your house, you can't get DSL. If I had the option of a cable modem, I would be so quick to jump on it if it gave me the good download because I could get rid of the phone line, I could get rid of the DSL. That would save me, you know, $80 a month.
Oof, that'd be nice.
You know, and go to the $40 or $50 a month cable. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, it adds up. It definitely adds up.
Yeah, it sure does.
The only reason I have the landline Radio Freak America. That's right. It's all for you.
All right. Do you did you have anything for the first ever Binary Revolution Freak News, or do we?
Yeah, briefly. And this is actually time sensitive, so this is perfect. Perfect timing. MCI faces federal fraud inquiry on fees for long distance calls. That's right. An inquiry into MCI's dealings. Even more so, right? You know about their accounting fraud, the biggest scandal ever. What is that? $750 million or something like that. They were. Find?
I don't know, man. MCI is good people.
Yeah. That's a joke, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That was a good delay, huh? That was nice.
Yeah, I was like, yes. Apparently, they've been routing calls, making long-distance calls look like local calls so they don't have to pay the access fees. Naturally, people. Did you know that Quest provides a long distance for Bell South on all their payphones?
I did not know that.
Well, now you do. Well, they've been doing this for a long time, like since the early to mid-90s. And I don't know why this inquiry is just occurring now. Apparently, I think their competitors have been bringing shit up, Verizon, SBC, and AT&T. Apparently, some customers had been I think it was AT&T customers, would complain that they'd be getting calls, but they would show up as local calls and not long distance calls, and they'd be pissed. So that brought it to the Fed's attention. I can't wait to see what comes out of this. I'm sure it's going to take a while, but this is great stuff. I mean, illegally routing calls, so they don't have to pay the access fees. I think they pay billions of dollars every year in access fees, right? Fees to the local exchange carriers to let their long distance calls go through. And this is for hundreds of millions, I think. So actually not that much. Well, that's still a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Compared to, tens of billions of dollars. Yeah, it is. It's still a lot of money. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing all this stuff. Yeah, and this is I got the article from the New York Times. I think I saw it on Slashdot, and I got the one from the New York Times. There's actually in the multicolored fish wrap today, I believe. That's the USA Today. It's you and me. They had a short blurb about it, of course, but very good news. And this just came out. Did it come out Sunday? What is today? Today's Monday. Yeah, yesterday. It came out yesterday, Sunday. So, good read, definitely. Good stuff. Don't you love it?
You know, how long is it going to take up before we see any action from that? And
yeah, I don't know. I mean, how can they even exist anymore after all this shit? You know, I mean.
Government subsidies. All they're going to do is increase our taxes to help pay for it.
Yeah, you're so fucked all the way around. Goodbye. Yeah. Liquidation, baby. It's just so messed up. But it's too big. It's too huge.
And another one will just take their place just as bad.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Probably. Ooh, what is this? Oh, sorry. Something just caught my eye. The main scheme of avoiding access charges was referred to in company documents variously as Project Invader and Project Scorpion, according to former technicians at the company. In statements provided to investigators, they described the enormous pressure they faced to reduce access fees. Oh, this is great. Oh, I got to read this whole thing. I haven't read it all, so I'm guilty as charged, but this is going to be good stuff, good reading, and good drama. Unbelievable.
Wow, I tell you what, man, they better get the shredders fired up and ready.
Ooh, boy.
Start cleaning out some emails.
Yeah, apparently some old employees gave some information. They had to have. I mean, you have to have some information like that. Good shit. That's dude.
All
that's
right, man. Close out the freak news.
Freak news.
All right.
That come through okay?
Yeah, came through good.
I've got to apologize for bringing your show down to my level.
Ah, please. It was a fun show. Man, we got to have fun every once in a while. It'll probably be... We covered a lot of good topics and had some actually pretty deep stuff. I mean, we make fun and joke while we do it, but I think that's what... I don't know if that's what the people like. That's what I like doing, It makes it fun. I like to laugh and have fun while we're doing it and make fun of people, and it helps get the point across. You can either rant and get on the soapbox and pound the Bible and try to throw it, or you can make fun of them and show how ridiculous these things are that these people are doing. And that's what they are. They are fucking ridiculous. And there's nothing wrong with saying that they are fucking, 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 fucking ridiculous sometimes.
How many was that?
I don't know. I just.
Well, if you want to hear effing ridiculous, thank you. Should listen to the next RFA.
You know what? I'm kind of looking forward. I'm already getting geared up. I'm getting red in the face and hot now because I know you know what? I'm going to give the listeners a warning. RFA this week, if you have earmuffs, earphones, ear protectors, put some wax, don't clean your ears, because it could get really loud and really messy.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be me. I will tell them. It's going to be me, you, and Bland, and we got some good shit to talk about. Good shit.
Yeah, well, let's...
Great
yeah,
show. Yeah. Can I tell you that you made me think on this show? I mean, and you know, and I'm not good at thinking. You made me I mean...
Oh, shut up.
Think deep, long, and hard.
Oh, you know I'm going to use deep, long, and hard.
Okay, all right, that's enough.
Oh, no, we did. Like I said, we had fun. We covered some serious topics, and, you know...
Yep.
I guess we got to close the bag up there, close the freak nose up, and, you know, I say it at the end of every show, if you got feedback, you got something you like, didn't like, you, we say fuck too much, you know, send a letter to fuck you, I'm sorry, send a letter to letters@benrev.com and tell us.
Send letter to, how about a nice...
We really, you know, honestly, the joking aside, I mean, we really should, let's have a contest or something, maybe that's what we need to motivate us, let's try to see who's going to stop using it, or we need one of those jars where we put a dollar into it every time we say the F word.
Whatever.
Because I tried it last. Did you listen to last episode? I tried.
Did you really?
I tried. I made it. I said it a couple times at the beginning, and then I said I'm going to try to make it through the episode. I don't remember if I did or not. I don't think I made it without saying it. I don't remember.
Honestly, naturally, I usually don't. I usually don't think about it, and if it happens, it happens. If I'm pissed off, sometimes it does, you know.
Well, yeah, these things, they piss you off. They really do. And you know, I guess we should also warn them for this Wednesday's RFA, because you're going to hear it from me. I guarantee you.
And that's just fine. Before we end, I want to end on this. I want to thank you for making another show.
Oh, please. We wouldn't be here without you. You know that. Let's quit blowing smoke up each other's ass. It was great having you on. I like having you on. We have fun.
My C++ homework. I had something good to listen to, and I appreciate it.
Well, I have fun doing it, and I wouldn't be here without your help and streaming and everything. So, and speaking of something to listen to, we're going to end today's show with Ill Skills, a track named Platinum from MP3.com. Check him out.
Right on.
Anyway, you know how we end it. We'll see everybody next time, same hack time. That's your cue.
Same hack channel.
You almost tried to screw me out late.
Score. Later.